All right, friends, this episode was recorded live on the trade show floor, and although Emily and I intended to only chat for a few minutes about her trade show experience, we found ourselves engaged in a really rich conversation that really just deserved its own episode. So that's what I've got for you today. Today's guest is Emily Chang, the illustrator and owner of Emmy Creations, where she creates and sells stationery and gift products aimed at foodie and animal lovers. She's also a Paper Camp alumni and Labs member. On today's episode, Emily talks about exhibiting at a wholesale show, how she manufactures her products overseas, how she's using TikTok for her business, and how her business model has evolved over the last 2 years. Today's episode is brought to you by the Proof to Product Labs community. This is my 12-month group coaching program specifically built for product-based business owners. Next quarter, we're focused on marketing strategies, and we have Lindsay Clements coming to teach us how to create a 90-day marketing plan that increases our revenue and our visibility. The best part is this plan is something that you'll be able to rework each quarter so that you're continually pushing forward and meeting your goals. To learn more about Labs and to join our waitlist, head to prooftoproduct.com/labs. Again, that's prooftoproduct.com/labs. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. I'm on a mission to empower product-based business owners to confidently grow their revenue in their own way and at their own pace. Here at Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies, find inspiration, and action steps to help you start, streamline, and scale your product-based business. So grab your favorite notebook to take notes and let's get started. I'm here with Emily from Emmy Creations. How are you doing, Emily?
Very good.
Is this your first trade show?
This is technically my second, but I was in an incubator before, so kind of like graduating out of it.
Where was the incubator? Which show was that at?
Las Vegas Market.
Okay. How did that compare to what you're doing here?
So it was actually pretty similar because I had GCA and Labs as like a community to fall back to. So it was really cool knowing people here already, where it was similar setting with the incubator. You had a group of people that you knew and you kind of like all huddled together and supported each other. So I think I was really lucky on that front, and I felt more confident going in because of all the prepping we did. We had like weekly meetings on Labs for it, which is kind of cool that Amy set up.
Yep.
So that made me feel really prepared. I was still super nervous, but you know, some of the nerves you just have to have before every single show, but everything turned out exactly the way I wanted. I like measured everything down to the inch, and then I'm like one of those people, and I had like a laser leveler on my like second show, and people thought I was a pro, which I was not. I'm like, I'm fooling everybody, but this is awesome. People are like buying it.
Well, you're meticulous and in everything you do, which is amazing. You have had a really strong direct-to-consumer revenue stream, and you recently entered wholesale. How long have you been wholesaling?
So I actually started the moment COVID started. So me and COVID have a special relationship because that's when wholesale started for me. My first trade show was literally like the month before everything shut down at the last Las Vegas Market. So that was kind of insane, but I was so thankful to pivot because I think wholesale saved my business. Like, hands down, no questions asked. It was the thing that kept me afloat and am still keeping me afloat this year. So it became like 30% of my revenue, where in the past, 100% was show retail. So I had to go to markets. 100% of the revenues was from that. Maybe like 5% online, but that was a great pivot for me. And that's why I'm so excited to expand and come to shows and expand the market even more.
I knew that you did a lot of retail shows, craft markets, anything. I didn't realize that 95% of your revenue was from that. That's a huge shift when life shuts down and you don't have it. So at that time, you pivoted to online, direct-to-consumer sales, and then wholesale. Did you sell wholesale through your website, or did you jump on a marketplace like Fair?
So actually, at Las Vegas Market, one of my neighbors was like, you should try out Fair. And I was like, oh, I think they sent me an invite. Let me just check it out. And she's like, you have to be on it. Like, just try it out. If it doesn't work, you know, you still have people that you meet here. And so I think that alone was worth me going to that show because she brought me on to Fair and that just went crazy. So I was so thankful to have her advice. And then because I had Fair, A-Bound also invited me onto theirs, and then Tundra also invited me onto theirs. So it just kind of like rolled itself out in the way that I never expected, which is really cool. I mean, I still have the markets right now just because they are my bread and butter, but it's nice to have a fallback and to have like a stable fallback that's always going to be there when I need it.
I'm so impressed with you and how you transitioned that. I'm also going to have a side conversation about you being on too many wholesale platforms, but we'll do that when we stop. We'll do that when we stop recording. But how has being back in person at a wholesale show impacted your goals or what you're working towards on the wholesale side? Because selling in person is very different than selling online.
So I actually had a really great experience in the Las Vegas market. Like, I met one of my biggest customers to this day there. And I feel like that's just how you have to view it. You're not here to break even necessarily at the show or like get a billion orders. You're here to meet that one or two amazing client that like you're going to have such a special relationship with. And I feel like on Fair and stuff like that, you're so far removed from people that it's almost sad not be able to have that one-on-one relationship. And that's why like I love Fair, but at the same time, I don't love it, you know? Like, I want to keep moving away from it. I hate depending on Etsy or Fair and stuff like that. Like, I want people to know me as me instead of know me on, that person on Fair, you know, that person on Etsy. So I think that this helps create your brand in a stronger presence to these kind of people. Even if they see you on Fair and they see you on a trade show, you're like, wait, I know that person. You know, they have a better recognition of, like, who you are, what you look like, because your booth has your vibe. You know, they immediately recognize you so much better. And I feel like that's the same with going to markets. You might not break even, you may not do well, but at the same time, I get so many more followers, I get so many more better recognition just from going to shows that may not be well, that I still go back every year.
Okay, I want to reinforce two things that you said, because I'm over here like a proud mama being like, yes, girl, yes. Because being at shows like this is so important for a multitude of reasons. It's not just the number of orders you write at a show or the dollar value of the orders that you write at the show. It's the long-term benefits. It's the contacts that you make, the colleagues you meet, the potential sales reps or accounts that you meet. And again, to your point, the brand visibility and the brand recognition and the brand building. And so I love that you shared that you kind of came in here with no expectations, but you've exceeded them, which is good, right? But also just the long term, that this is one step in a longer plan that you have for wholesale. I also want to touch on the fact that, and give you kudos for, you have done an amazing job of building your brand identity online through TikTok and these videos that you've been doing, sharing behind the scenes, sharing your products, sharing the process behind it. Is that easy for you or is it difficult for you? It seems really easy from the outside looking in.
Oh my gosh. I think that's been my biggest struggle. So every year I kind of give myself a huge challenge for my business, like something I really, really want to improve on. And this year was actually social media, because I was like such a hot, I feel like a hot mess, but people don't see it behind the scenes, you know?
We all do, by the way.
So I've been taking a lot of like online classes, YouTubes, like anything I can find, I absorb like a sponge and try to reproduce it. And TikTok have been amazing, but I still feel like I need to grow on there. You know, the cool thing is like there's no limit to your growth. Like you put as many hours in as like gives back, you know? So it's like the exciting thing of the small business world. Everything's always changing. The tech is changing. If you fall behind, it's kind of like scary in that way, but it also allows you to keep learning, which is cool for me.
Absolutely. You and I are kindred spirits because I'm a sponge too, and I've loved testing out these new platforms and things. And so congrats again on your success with that. Do you feel that that marketing that you've done, which is more aimed towards direct-to-consumer marketing, do you think that's also helped on the wholesale side of things?
I've actually had so many wholesale buyers like tag themselves in my TikToks. They're like, I recognize that order, which is so funny to me. And I've had some inquiries, not as much as retail, because it's definitely, I feel like there's some more heavy direct-to-consumer on there. But a lot of my retail people, they have TikToks too, and they love when I tag them. They just love it because some of their TikTok accounts are smaller. And if you have a bigger following and you can like push people over there, they love you for that. You know, you're basically helping each other essentially on a different platform as well. So that's like part of the reason that I love that, because you can help other small businesses, you can help your retailers, you can have a specialer relationship with them like that, and they recognize you more.
Well, and it helps, going back to what we already talked about, it helps to grow that relationship in a really meaningful and authentic way. Okay, let's talk about your product line. You have a lot of different product categories and a lot of SKUs, which is amazing. Is that tough to manage? And secondly, do you offer everything that you offer retail to the wholesale market as well, or do you keep some things for retail only?
Okay, so that's always been a struggle. I love products. That's like my weakness. I want to basically make every single product in the world. I have this feeling of FOMO whenever I see someone with a product. I'm like, I want to try that. But it's also like you have to have enough in the product line, which is why I've like bloated my SKU numbers so hard, because every time I try a new product, I have to have 7 of it, you know? Like, so I love it personally because my parents live in Taiwan. They like source manufacturers for me. They quality check for me. They walk the factories for me. Yeah. So I have a special relationship with like factories in Taiwan where I can have a one-on-one relationship with them. And a lot of those are small business factories that are struggling because a lot of the Taiwan factory stuff is moving to China as well. So I love working with them. So I love sourcing products that are a little different. If I can find something at a trade show in Taiwan that's interesting, I might try it out. But at the same time, like, I do have to be careful because I am doing both now, the retail side and the wholesale side. So some of my products don't translate over. And that's just like, I just have to swallow it and maybe like find a different manufacturer. Even like, sometimes you can do like, you can compare China prices and go to Taiwan and be like, they're cheaper. Can you like decrease your price? Yeah, can you match it for me? It's kind of hard for them, but it's definitely something I have to consider now more than ever. And I've removed some of my products because of that. And I've discontinued some of my products because I want to wholesale as much as my line as possible.
Yeah.
But there are just some fashion projects that I want to do. And like I have a hoodie that's 100% recycled material that I cannot source like comfortably. I mean, I make money on it if I do it direct to consumer, but I can't wholesale it unless they want to pay a little more, which I've talked to some people about and they might be willing, but that's like one of those hard things you have to decide on.
Well, remember, and I'm not trying to use this as a coaching moment, but remember that you can have products that are just on the retail side of things if the margins don't work for wholesale, and or you could tell people it will be a higher, you know, price point. But I think you've done a really thorough and strategic job of growing your product line, and the way you've expanded into categories has been very intentional. And so I just want to give you kudos for that, because you're meeting your customers where you're at. I didn't realize, I knew your parents were in Taiwan. I didn't realize you were doing so much of your manufacturing there.
Yeah.
That's incredible. That's a great asset to have.
Yeah, it is. It's actually pretty crazy because they actually live in the heart of Taiwan. So like Taipei, and they have a lot of trade shows there, just like of manufacturers like that kind of cater to local people, because it's such a weird industry where they're kind of almost like 10 years behind America. So they're starting now to have the struggles of like manufacturing moving over to China. So they want to cater to small businesses. I'm like, that's great for me. So the minimums are lower. I do pay a little more to get it done in Taiwan, but I'm willing to do that because I love supporting people there. And they let you walk the factory, they let you meet them, and they're so much willing to work with you and stuff like that. And then I feel like that partnership is just a lot better. And I've heard horror stories of my friends getting issues with China factories, like the qualities. I always think China factory quality is a little worse than Taiwan too, just because of the way they mass produce stuff. But it's like, it's nice having my parents there to, you know, go through the process. And they also manage the shipping process, which is a huge deal, mostly if you're getting it freighted. They can handle all of that. We have a lawyer in Taiwan for any copyright issues. So we actually send a full contract out to every single factory that has our stuff, so they know the copyright things and stuff like that. And anything happens, we have a lawyer there, we have an accountant there. So everything's set up, which is kind of cool because my parents used to run business in Taiwan. So they have the foundations there and America. So it was kind of like I just took over.
That's amazing. I'm happy to hear that you have all of those support systems in place, because I know one of the fears many companies have about manufacturing overseas is, you know, infringement on copyright or replicating products or, you know, not having somebody there to walk and view samples or whatever it is. So it's great that your parents are there and that you have that built-in infrastructure for your business. I assume you view that as a benefit.
It's definitely a benefit. They actually also have a lawyer in China because the copyright issue. So Taiwan kind of mirrors America in its copyright issue, where you don't have a much as an issue, but China's copyright is totally different. So we actually had to get a dedicated lawyer in China to shut down Alibaba listings for us. And they have like inside stuff that they do. They just call the Alibaba people and they're like, shut down this listing. They're like, okay, like what the heck? That's all I had to do, you know? So yeah, it's a very different system over there. Like, you have to be really careful. But definitely Taiwan, I like working with them better because they have more similar laws as in America. So I feel safer there. And there, I tend to go with small businesses there, so they don't tend to do all that.
Well, it sounds like, right, it sounds like it also ties back to your values as a brand. You've mentioned several times just in the last few minutes of working with smaller brands, supporting independent businesses, and I love hearing that. So, well, I've taken up a lot of your time today, Emily, so thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for coming by.
My pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in today. Be sure to follow all of Emily's links in our show notes, including her TikTok account, which she has used to build strong connections with her customers and really increase her sales. Also, if you are curious about exhibiting at wholesale trade shows or selling your products to the wholesale market, be sure to check out our two free trainings. There's two of them and they're very different. The Booth Blueprint, which talks about exhibiting at trade shows, and then the Is Wholesale Right for Me Masterclass. And that'll give you a primer on how to start selling wholesale and what you need to be prepared for. So you can gain access to both of those free resources in our library by going to prooftoproduct.com/resources. Again, that's prooftoproduct.com/resources. Thanks again for sticking around till the end. I'll be back next week with a new episode.